हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्थो मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
कृष्ण संदर्भ अध्याय 4 आदिकांड 2 The glories of the eternal associates of Krishna. Okay, page 98. Putri Bhute means he who did not become the son of anyone else became their son. This is because of the rule that a special manifestation arises from special bhakti. Because of special prema in Vatsalya, he became their son rather than appearing in his own body without a father and mother, as Nrisinga from a pillar in Hiranyakashipu's hall, or as Varaha appearing from Brahma's nostril. Nor did he simply enter the womb as he did to protect Parikshit, since Uttara is never considered Krishna's mother, although he was in her womb. Such premises pure and profuse in Nanda and Yashoda alone. Thus, without entering their womb, he is still their son. Nandastu atmaja utpanne jata jata lada no, jata la da nanda lahlada nanda when his son was born became jubilant. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.5.1 mangalo nanda gopa tanayaha. The son of Nanda is auspicious. Narada Pancharatra. He is never the son of the pillar. So it must be that there's some word in there that can also mean pillar or something. His appearance through Vasudeva is also not material. It is not through seminal transmission. Rather, the Satchidananda body entered through the mind. Thereafter, accompanied by his expansions, the root form, who is all auspicious for the entire universe and gives joys to all jivas, was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki. Devaki became beautiful by carrying Krishna, joy to all beings, who appeared on his own, just as the east becomes beautiful by carrying the rising moon. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.18. One must accept that Nanda and Yashoda act as Krishna's parents continuously. Since the Lord made appearances in the past, one time after the other, because of being controlled by their intense prema. This is approved by Narada, Prahlad, Dhruva, and others. The Vatsalya was strong, and without that he would not act as a son. The meaning of Putri Bhute is, we consider him our son. This is enacted during Prakat pastimes. They are fixed as Nitya Siddhas and Prakat pastimes, just as Lakshmi and Vishnu are a couple with conjugal love eternally. Nanda and Yashoda have love for Krishna and Vatsalya Ras eternally. Sometimes Putra Bhute is seen instead of Putri Bhute. Garga spoke the truth with the intention of stating that they were his eternal parents when he said, Prag ayam vasudevasya kvachit jatas tavat maja. Your son previously was born of Vasudeva. The meaning is this. When Devaki prayed that the Lord withdraw his astonishing form, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.3.30, he made his four-armed form, which had appeared also in Devaki's mind, disappear, and appear with two arms as he appeared in the mind of Yashoda. Because she had an image different from Devaki's in her mind, the Lord was born with a different form to Yashoda. Phalena phala karanam anu miyate. One can infer the cause by the result. this is really good. Because there's always that thing, it's not all, Krishna was born to Dev, okay, no, but he was also born to Yashoda. But so, point is he appears to Devaki in the form that Yashoda was meditating on. So when he changed into a baby, he changed into Yashoda's baby. Because Devaki's son was four-handed. Does that make sense?
It does, but I guess I wasn't attentive enough. I wasn't sure if this is from what we just read.
Yes, yes.
Oh.
Isn't that what we just read? Yes.
So her image went into Devaki's mind.
No. Vasudev, he's meditating on forearm Narayan.
Right.
He transfers that image to the heart of Devaki. And now she has the Lord within her womb.
Yes.
And then he is born as four-handed Narayan so that they are confident that this is the son that they wanted. Yeah. But then when she prayed that, if you appear like this, then he'll know you're God, so you please appear just as an ordinary child. But that ordinary child he appeared at, that was the meditation of Mother Yashoda. Mm. So he had already taken that form in Mathura. Does that make sense? But he also mentioned that, specifically as far as the pastime goes, he's not from Yashoda's womb. Does that make sense? But it's being inferred that he's a son, but his son was born to, previously he was born as the son of Vasudev.
Yeah.
But actually he's your son. Because he appeared as the four-handed Narayan to them. Then he appeared as your son. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, does that make sense? So in other words, the emphasis is on this aspect. That he's born with Vasudev. But we see is that he is the son of Yashoda and Nandababa. But as their foster son. Because that's the pastime. Right? Does that make sense? We shouldn't, on the platform of being Rasik, overemphasize that Yogamaya and Krishna were born to Yashoda, and then when Vasudev Krishna came, he merged into him, and then he stayed there. Does that make sense? I mean, that's just a mechanical aspect. But as far as everyone's concerned, as far as Vasudev, this is his son. But Nandababa is actually the son because he raised him and saw his childhood pastimes. That's what he says in Kurukshetra. And Gargamuni is also emphasizing this. Right? Now why? Just one thing, we'll see, is that the Parakiya aspect is what's unique to Vrindavan, no? You don't find it anywhere else. So Parakiya means it's not yours.
Yeah.
So if we over-establish the fact that no, Krishna's born in Vrindavan, he's there, is this and that, how does that enhance Parakya? It may be a confidential point, but it doesn't enhance anything. It only enhances our mind of logic that, okay, Braja Krishna never leaves, so he's there, how could he be here and all that. It just makes us happy. But it doesn't enhance the pastime. Otherwise, why isn't it made prominent? Why is it only mentioned one time, one purport by one acharya? It's not that anybody said, it's, of course. It's just the way it is. But the action is that the application is going to be that he's the son of Vasudev. But you could say it's actually he's Nandan Yashoda's son because of their prema. And so that's why they see his past childhood pastimes, that's why they raise him, and that's why they have him in that form, not Vasudev Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So just because you know some facts doesn't naturally mean it's got a higher taste. It's just like, let's say you're eating your sandwich, and I get down into the fine points of what molecules make it up and which combinations, and therefore it does this and that and makes your earlobes, juicy and all that kind of stuff. Is that going to enhance the taste of your sandwich?
I guess a mental taste.
Maybe, but yeah. But I said, hence the taste of natural foods is mental.
Of course. Otherwise, no taste.
I don't like it.
Yeah?
I don't like it.
Yeah, yeah.
The taste is well done. I don't
like it. Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? In other words, it's a point that's there, but it's not made prominent. Because if it's only mentioned once, it's not as important. Like in the Gita, Krishna says, yo, yo, yum, yum. That's important. He's emphasizing it twice. You know, and two words he's emphasizing. Normally it's one word or one phrase. So whatever is mentioned more, that's what's more important. You know, it may be underlying, so you know, yes, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, so this is how he arranged it. But the point is he already took the form of Yashoda's child in Mathura. So, you know, so all these fine points, just the main thing is that Krishna's there, he goes there, because he comes to, he means, as an avatar, then he comes to rectify any disturbances, you know, in the plant, on the earth, in the universe, that are opposed to devotional service, right? And then, he does that by performing wonderful activities with the devotees. So he's come to do all that, so then naturally then he's come as the son of Vasudeva. And he'll do wonderful pastimes as the son of Vasudeva. But the most wonderful pastimes are the pastimes of Nanda and Yashoda. That's why only once in the life of Brahma is that shown. I mean, once in the day of Brahma, excuse me.
Yeah.
You know. Because that's very special. So. So you know it's that Krishna is doing this, but it's that Krishna is coming and doing this, then he goes back into this. It's not a separate person. You know? It's just like, let's say you're with a friend, you're laughing and joking, and there's some prominent personality, and you're in the car laughing and joking and this and that, getting out of the car and that, and then suddenly, you know, you're going to a program, and then suddenly the dignitaries of the program come out to receive you and all that, and then just suddenly goes into another mood. So for them, that's the person. But for you, it's the person that you were goofing with in the car. But in that formal situation, he takes the formal mood. So Krishna and Dwarka is just Krishna that's taken the formal mood for the move with the Brajavasis, with the Dwarkavasis. Because you see, as soon as the Brajavasis come and meet him in Kurukshetra, then he's that same Krishna in Braja. It's the same person. We overemphasize the difference. You know, I mean, there's an advantage, that way we don't get distracted by anything else, the glory of Vaikuntha or anything else, or demigods or this or that. You know, because we have a tendency. So you have to make it strong. Does that make sense? But at the same time, it's not actually so necessary. So, because I only bring it up because I've noticed since sometime in the 90s that every time you bring up about, you know, Krishna, you know, the pastime when Krishna is born
in Mathura,
and then he's taken to Vrindavan, and then he replaces the girl with the boy and all that. Every time, I mean, without exception, it'll be no, but Krishna was actually born there with her, and then they actually put in this and that. And it just makes them feel good. It means he's the independent person. Why can't he do what he likes? He's going to maintain all the things. He's going to work it out. But that's not the emphasis.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But other pastimes, it's not that all the confidential points are always brought out. because they're just further points. But this makes us logically, okay, now it all makes sense.
I guess also because it's a Janma Lila, which is the beginning of the whole, you know, Vrindavan pastime,
right.
then it's very important to start from the right foot.
Right. But then the right foot is the apricot. So that's the thing. If we can't digest this, how are we going to digest that? He says in the prakat they're always in this position. In the apricot, then there's no birth pastime. They're always the parent.
Yeah.
You know, and Vasudeva Devaki will be expansion of Nanda and Yashoda. And therefore Krishna is an expansion. So that's the point. Prakat means it has to make sense. Like Krishna has a disappearance pastime. He gets shot in the heel. You know? So then, in one sense, you know, Achilles, you know, got a very glorious position that he could leave in the same way that Krishna did. Only thing is, Krishna didn't die and Achilles did, so. you know, so I'm saying, but do we ever emphasize that? You know? So Moshe, we don't get into it, or return wrath. It's there, it's a fact, but we don't get that much into it. Like even see Chaitanya Charitamrita, the devotees went. But there's like, I forget what it is. Like it was a very, very short, like maybe a few shlokas about the return wrath.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean the detail and the stopping the garden and eating and doing all those things aren't there. It's just it's already been described, and that's the main thing, going to Vrindavan. You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, we just take lead from the acharyas. If they don't overemphasize it, we don't overemphasize it. In other words, we don't say it if someone brings it up, but how could this, that? Then you can say, no, but it's here. But it's not that it's the main part of the pastime. It may be a point to bring up if someone has a confusion. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this interesting fact is just a few days ago we were reading Lagu Bhagavatamrita and Rupa Goswami. He explains exactly. I was like really impressed. He even quotes the same exact verse from the second chapter of the 10th canto. You just read it.
Okay.
Exactly same.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, what you explained previously, that, you know, he was born, you know, the whole process transferring, you know, from Vasudev to Devaki, and then he's there, and then the Vasudev takes him to Braj.
Mm-hmm.
And then Yashoda, she's tired from the labor.
Mm-hmm.
And then Vasudev changes the boy with the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then takes the girl back. But It's an interesting thing that he doesn't see Braja Krishna. For him, he isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
He sees only girl, just grabs her and goes back, because that's his mission.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rupa Goswami says that the Vasudev Krishna merges into Braja Krishna.
Yes, yes.
And then I was like so happy. Yeah, I really figured it out. And then today, you know, the whole thing, you know, shifts.
No. But what Rupa Goswami said is the point. But for the taste of the pastime, it's not the prominent point. If you're talking tattva, then yes, that all makes sense. But for the pastime, it's not so necessary. Yes?
There are two very important points because of which sometimes it is mentioned, sometimes it is emphasized the other way. The first thing is, mentioning that point establishes the eternality aspect of the Leela.
Mm-hmm.
Krishna is eternally present there. It's not, he's coming from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is the point about the Dharma. With respect to Vatsalya Leela, it will not be so prominently brought out, but when it comes to Madhurya Leela, then it's a Dharma for thinking about somebody else, mm-hmm. husband or wife. So then this point has to be prominently brought out that he is not somebody else's husband. They all belong to him.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, in parental also you can take that, like why they are like Nanda and Yashoda are going after somebody else's son and disturbing the whole scene. Like it's like trying to show overpositioness, it's not their son anyways. In that kind of a mood, somebody can point out. So just to establish these two points, then this is quoted somewhere, but it has nothing to do much with the whole rasa, as you explained. Parakiya bhava means it is.
Yeah, so it's just, as you're discussing the vatsalya, then these things and these facts are work fine. But for the conjugal, it's not as important.
And this, as said, is for aprakat lila. This,
yeah. Means, in other words, Krishna being there, that's the aprakat. And then Vasudev bringing Vasudev Krishna, that's the prakat. And then he goes into it. So,
yeah. In one sense, that's confidential, Maharaj.
That's the point. It's a confidential point. That's why I'm mentioning it's a great point. It's a very nice point, very special point. But it's brought out as if it's just, you know, public property. You know, the copyright is ended, and now every new bhakta, when he's reading the pastimes of all, but actually he was, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, okay, where's that from? You know, you've read Laghu Bhagavatamrita, you've got onto these things like that. You're reading Krishna book. Keep it like that. You don't have to say that. No one said anything. No one had a doubt. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, are they mentioning who's who's and who's brothers and sisters amongst the demons, and which demons are, you know, representing which bad qualities and all that, you know? If they are, okay, now you can bring it out. You have that kind of background and all, but they don't. They just always bring that up. So I'm just saying it gets overemphasized. That's my point. But the point is, as you describe it, that's how it happened. But at the same time, is that Vasudev Krishna in Mathura has already taken the form of Raja Krishna when he's being taken to Vrindavan.
Yeah.
You know, it means, in other words, he's become Yashoda's meditation rather than Devaki's. And then he's going to Vrindavan. So, in other words, it's almost like Ratha Yatra. Yeah. Going back to Vrindavan.
Also, this is where the prakat and equality of the prakat and aprakat manifestations is. We need to understand on the point which Jiva Goswami emphasizes, that consistency is only in the bhava of the devotees, because from prakat aprakat there are manifestation changes,
mm-hmm.
how it manifests. And the flow of time, as said, in aprakat there is the flow of time as beginning and end doesn't happen, but in prakat that is there. So everything appears very different, and then there is no consistency, it appears. But that constancy is in the bhava of the devotees. That's why it's always brought out as the main point. As here brought out, Krishna manifested those forms based on the bhava of Yashoda and Devaki.
Mm.
It's not the other way, as we think. Having manifested, then the bhava came out like that.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
It's just, in other words, you don't overemphasize it. You know, like the peacock feather. You don't overemphasize it. It's Krishna's. But at the same time, cows, cowherd boys, the gopis, everybody wears peacock feathers. But you don't overemphasize that either. You know, Krishna wears, and then like that.
Yeah, even peacock wear peacock.
Very good point. Peacocks are, wow.
Because Raj is famous for peacocks.
Yeah.
Here we don't see them.
No. Have you been, I mean, I don't know if you still see it, but in Kartik, when you go out into the villages, because generally we may sometimes try to go in the main roads, but when you go through the villages and that, you see peacock feathers everywhere.
In the fields.
Yeah, because they all, Kartik, they all fall out.
Yeah, just,
you know, so Kartik, or at the end of Kartik, it's after Kartik, I think, whatever. Yeah. Then they all look good, and that's the season. And after that, they all fall out until spring. Then they're all very quiet, you know, because if you don't have your plumage, then why make noise? You know?
Just the chicken.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, like that. Yeah, because if you don't have your baseball hat, you don't have your chains, you know, you don't have that, you know, how do you do rap, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good point that we should keep it to the, you know, to the scripture and to the context. Otherwise, yes. If we jump too much, I mean, we try to establish samgati.
Yes, yes.
Which true. Is the last point, you know, in Panchan Vinyaya.
Yes.
But as you mentioned now, you know, I understand sometimes there's a dissonance.
Yeah, dissonant.
And some preachers, they just speak, you know, too many things from you know, too many books.
Yeah.
And then you just can't. Together.
Yes.
And then they leave you up in the air. Then it's a good feeling actually, you know, after the class and
because it's connected to Krishna, it's gotta be connected.
but to you know, the puzzle is all over the place. It's not together. So it's like it's good feeling, but also it's not exactly, you're not satisfied.
Yeah.
Because there's no, you know, like strong conclusion.
Yes, yes.
Also, it has to enhance an attachment in a particular way.
Mm.
So whether are you, when you are describing the prakati, like, it will enthuse you and enhance your mood in a particular way. Or you are describing the aparakati lila either in the mantropasanamai way, where you are just describing a particular pastime and just sticking onto it.
Mm-hmm.
That enhances your meditation in a particular way. But mm-hmm. when you are describing the Swarasiki pastime of Apurakata, which is as it is, then it has another mode. But to reach that level, first of all, it should be very mature. Mm-hmm. One has to be very mature, in a very mature state. That
to see all of that, everything
going
together.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's like not digested inside.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because that's the, like, what he's saying is that revelation there, that's a Swarasiki thing.
Yeah.
But the point is since we're only on mantropasana, then, you know, we should see it in that way. It's not that we don't know it's there, but we shouldn't overemphasize. Otherwise, you know, it's just too much enthusiasm for, you know, the position you're in. Does that make sense? You know, said like, you know, we're coming along serving prasad, and I serve the, you know, we're going along, it's breakfast, and there's different things, and there's, so let's say there's some samosa and all that, and I serve you a samosa and all that. The second time I serve you a samosa, and then you get out of your chair, stand in your chair, yes, yes, I got another. So it's a little bit, you know, you went, whoa, nice, you know, that now that matches.
Yeah.
You know, so it should match.
I mean, it's a really subtle point.
Yeah.
Another point.
That seems to be what Sundarvan said.
Yeah, it brings out all the subtleties, yeah. Which before we just didn't pay any attention. Another point is, you know, I just realized that when you study, you know, from beginning to end under the teacher, then you can slowly come and you know, describe all the points and all the connections, but mm-hmm. in a separate class. If you're just giving one class, like say Bhagavatam class mm-hmm. or Sunday program class,
mm-hmm.
it just doesn't make sense if you throw everything into one pot and just cook mm-hmm. it and serve it. People like Prabhu said, they can't digest it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're bringing it out to, just like someone was telling me once that he was talking about cooking in the house. This had been like in the 70s or something. We were discussing about the subtleties of like a dolma.
Dolma.
Yeah, you know, like the, yeah. You know, cauliflower and the paneer and you know, you can put potatoes, peas, dhania pot, all that. But he was talking about when one of the family members would cook, it tastes just, it has just one flavor. But actually there's 20 different spices that are combined to get that flavor. And none of the 20 stand out.
Yeah.
Right? They're so well, perfectly balanced that you get this one perfect You know, that richness, that sweetness, that, you know, everything is just perfect. But no one flavor stands out. You know, someone who's very expert could know what went together, but, you know, but the point is that it's one flavor. But, you know, that's the one thing when you use less, like, let's say, a chachari, you know, where it's just a single, you know, stir-fried sabji, you might just make one spice stick out, you know, extra ginger or extra collagen, or you put cardamom and cinnamon in the chaans, you know, because they'll give a sharper flavor, they won't give that sweet flavor. Or you just put a lot of lemon or danyapata, or, you know, something like that. You've done, and that brings it out. No, it's balanced. But then you know it's, you know, it's this. So we're used to that one. Then we can go, oh, here's the taste. But that balanced one, we won't understand the subtlety of it.
Yeah.
That it's just so refined. How good you have to be able to cook like that. You know? You know, it's because, well, I like cardamom, so I'll put extra in. But then it'll throw it off. It'll have a different flavor. Then it'll take on more of the, like the, what do you call them? Maybe they call them, not rasa. I can't remember the name. But it means that it's basically almost like the, it's a form of dalma, the overall, that the sauce is generally thinner. It has less variety of spices in it. It'll have the sweet spicing, it'll have the cardamom, cinnamon, and those. But they'll stand out a little bit more. You know, and you have this nice sauce. So you have the same vegetables with that a little bit more prominent. And when you put in so many more, that they all goes in the background.
Yeah.
So it's that, if you get all that, so if you'll see is, you know, how, like that's the perfection of how Srila Prabhupada talks. Mm. Everything is there. But it's in such a perfect balance for the audience, the situation, what is being discussed, that you won't know. It's only like, say, we read something in the Sandarbha or something in Lagu Bhagavatamrita or, you know, somewhere. Then we go, oh, wow, that's a far-out thing. Then when you listen to Prabhupada talking about it, you see he's already talking about it. But he's talking about it in such a subtle way that now that I know about it, I hear it. Someone else who doesn't know about it doesn't hear it. But both are getting the same benefit from the same explanation of the same situation. You know, that's mastery. That's the founder of Acharya. Means whoever you are, you hear what you need to hear. You won't hear otherwise. It's just like, I always thought it was just now and again Prabhupada mentioned about, you know, this aspect of Brahman. You know, the soul is Brahman. So yes, you can say soul is God. But you have to know, you're a small God. Maybe at home, you're God. But when you go to the office, you're not God. The boss is God. You know, and he's got his and this and that. You know, you understand? So, you know, it's like that. You have to understand. Krishna is God who has all power. You know, and I thought, you know, once or twice he mentioned it. Now I'm listening to the lectures. Very, very often he's mentioning it. Hundreds and hundreds of times. When before I thought, oh, it's just a here and there. Because I didn't hear it before. You know, you're listening to the same thing. You know, it's just like you go back and start the beginning of Bhagavad Gita and you read. It's got, wow, this is a cool point. But you've read it before so many times. You've heard classes on that. But now, because as you get purified, it's real that Krishna reveals, then you see more and more points.
Yesterday we were seeing on the five levels of consciousness in Prabhupada's purport. Five levels of consciousness.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yesterday we were seeing how nicely Prabhupada explained the gradation.
Yes, yes, yes. Like that. At five levels of consciousness, he uses a lot. Sambandha Abhidaya Prayojana uses a lot. We don't necessarily see it. But he uses it so much. But he just does it in such a perfect blend that no one will be put off because it's too scholarly. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, no one will think, oh, this is just sentimental. Right? So, those who are sentimental, those who are scholarly, those who are practical, you know, those who, you know, are logical, all these different things, they all find the perfection in that. That's the founder of Acharya. So then, with that view, then we look at all these things that the Acharyas give, then we can have that, we can have more of a balance. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Otherwise, just as we overemphasize too much Vishnu is different from Krishna, we also have to be careful of Dwarka is different from Braja Krishna. It's the same person, but that mood he won't go outside Vrindavan with, because where are the devotees? So the only time we see it technically outside Vrindavan is in Kurukshetra. Why? Because the Brajvasis are there. You don't see him manifest that with the what do you call it? Yadus. I was going to say yokels, but the yadus. You know, I mean, they are the locals. And so then, and privately he's talking with them. You know, they see him in public, but at some point then they go into a private, then they can be themselves. But they're in a situation in which they can't fully express that. You know, it means they can't act, they can talk about it, they can't act on it as Braja, Radha, and Krishna. So that's why she says, you know, we go back to that place. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's there, but at the same time, it's still the same person. Otherwise, if that's not there, then why is it then the Acharya says, you know, when he's talking about the devotee and the Paramatma, he said, Govinda Bishram. Krishna is sitting in your heart. Because if you see as Krishna, then he reciprocates in that way. And he's sitting there as Paramatma because nobody cares. You know what I'm saying? You know, he controls the energy. So in the heart, Paramatma, he controls you and your karma and your situations. As Garbhodaksha Vishnu is Paramatma of the universe, he controls how the universe is and all the energies and what's there for available to all these, you know, secondary controllers, Brahma on down. Right? As Karanodaksha Vishnu, then he's Paramatma for the Mahatattva. You know, seeing that all that goes and all the ingredients and everything's combined and everything's there and all the universes in which everything can happen. Then you see is that there's the aspect of, you know, it's Balaram or, you know, his expansion, that's either the Chaturvyuha or Maharanarayan or like this, he's Paramatma of the spiritual realm. Because all the energies work and everything like that. Because it says, in Vaikuntha he thinks, I am God. So that's that aspect of Paramatma. But he interacts with the devotees is Bhagavan. But that's that basis. You know, the sage, he's just, you know, the supreme absolute and all pervading. This okay here?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very good. And also that point on the prakata prakata, the main confusion comes when devotees try to mix those two together.
Mm.
Because if we read Bhoma Lila,
mm-hmm.
it has its own esoteric part, but it's, you know, it's quite digestible. It's not mm-hmm. it's not that difficult, and mm-hmm. the flow of Bhagavatam is really pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes good sense. Mm-hmm. And if we poke our noses into uppercuts, then it's also pretty straightforward, because, you know, on our level we can't meditate for 24 hours on the Astakala Lila.
Mm-hmm.
We just, whatever it is there, we just, you know, the Bhagavata is just a few pages.
Mantrapasaka.
Yeah, Mantrapasana. Not Swarasiki, because yes. It's not up, we're not up.
Because that's level. Just, you just are in the flow, it's just going.
What's going?
You meditate on a specific pastime. It's always going on, it's eternal, but the Swarasiki means what's going on now, that's what you tune into.
Yeah.
You know, like that Rupa Goswami, then he's sitting there and then he sees Radha and Krishna, and Radharani's asking Krishna to, you know, about picking the flowers, but there's two like that, so then Krishna picks up Radharani so she can pick the flowers, then at one point she lets go, mm-hmm. you know, and then the tree branch, you know, pulls up. You know, like that, you know, because she's pulled it down and then she's hanging there and that, and then he's laughing and all that. And so that's Swarasiki. You know, the Mantrapasaka will be, I've heard from the Acharyas this about the pastime and I'm seeing that, because You're only assisting. You're appreciating what others are doing. So until you're there, you can't do this to the other one. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So this is what when it's together.
Mm-hmm.
It's really confusing. What is going on? Why is it here? Why is this detail here? So, I guess Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jiva Dharma, he mentions don't mix the two. Mm-hmm. Meditate on Boma Lila separately, or meditate on Nitya Lila separately, don't mix the two.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's.
Yes, yes. And that Nitya Lila is going on, you know, here also.
Yeah.
It's the same. But it just won't have the features that in the Prakat. So generally, like you're saying, we take Prakat as Boma Lila. But the Aprakat's also Boma Lila. That's why they're non-different.
Yeah.
And because they're also, because they're non-different there, then the Prakat and the Aprakat are also non-different. Therefore, then, when they talk about the birth or this or that, it's from the Prakat pastime, not in the Aprakat. But in Aprakat, they talk about it. It's already there. So they don't have to have a birth. They don't have to have husbands, the gopis. They don't have to have the demons. It's already there. It's already happened for them in the same place, but at the same time, it's for us. It has that difference. Yeah. Generally, you never see the two. I think there's a place in Brihad Bhagavatamrita where he's talking about the demons, but he's talking about them in the apricot, so they're not killed. Mm,
yeah.
That's in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Yeah. Because in the Boma Lila, I mean in the Prakat, they're killed. But in the Aprakat, they're not. You know, he goes once to Mathura and doesn't come back. You know, but in the Aprakat, you know, it's a regular thing, they go to pay tax. So Nanda Baba's going, Krishna's there, he'll go also, and then they'll come back. So they'll go and come back, be in back a few days.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, yeah, don't mix them. He's talking about the one talk they're talking about, the other talk there. You know, it's just like, you know, we're starting at the beginning of the meal, you know, you have the bitter, you know, the shukta, the shag, these things, and then you have at the end of the meal, you have all the sweets and all this. Don't mix them. You know. Because the point is they're mixed by one goes into here. Because that's happened, therefore we're at the sweets. When you're eating the sweets, you've already eaten the other ones.
Yeah.
So it's already part of the scene. But when you're eating the bitter, then you don't. Of course, this is the Bengali perspective. Gujus have a different idea, so... Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah? Okay.
South India, we have even more different. Just give a gap between both. In a meal, you don't take sweets. Sweets are taken after, like, in the evening.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Can do that. Mm-hmm. I do remember, though, when it was when you're at Brahmin feedings,
they
give a little bit, like this much of sweet. And they watch to see if you take that first. If you do, then you're a Brahmin. And if you don't, and also somehow or another, I don't know, maybe it's just an Udupi in that, or that side, the Karnataka, when they're feeding, because nobody really eats dal, it's always sambar.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually cook proper dal,
yeah.
And they give a little bit, and you eat that first. Of the salties, you eat that first. So you eat the sweet, then you eat that little bit, then you start on the sambar and rasam and everything like that. So it's very, you know. It's just because scripture mentions about these things, so they have it there. Because scripture mentions dal, so they have it. Like this much, like half a teaspoon. Maybe even less, a third or a quarter. You know, and then it's just there. It's just part of the, you know, you've done your duty. But I only noticed it there. I didn't see it anywhere else. On the, in the dal. But I have seen it also, I think in Tamil Nadu. I saw with the sweet. If they've already served it on the plate when they're doing the other things, then you take some of that first.
Yeah. I guess that explains that that part they follow in Vaidhi, and this part we follow in Rasi.
Just the taste. Because the fun is the bitter will give that full flavor and appreciation, but because they don't have bitter, therefore the sweet will make you interested in salty.
Yeah.
If you've taken some sweet and you taste salty, it tastes very salty. Uddhava speaks. Okay. Uddhava speaks to Nanda and Yashoda. The Supreme Lord is certainly not your son alone. Rather, since he is the Atma of all beings and the Lord, he is the son, father, and mother. 10:46-42. The external meaning, meant to pacify them by a manifestation of neutrality, carries another real meaning. The Lord, devoid of dear and non-dear, devoid of mother and father, becoming a special form as Krishna, is the son of you too and not of all others. As the Supreme Lord, having a general form, he is mother, father, and son of all beings, external meaning. The external meaning does not please us, since it assumes that Nanda and Yashoda are conditioned by thinking Krishna would be their son. The other meaning is accepted because it shows Nanda and Yashoda, full of prema, who are praised by devotees, by liberated souls, and by persons desiring liberation. That had previously been mentioned by Uddhava. Uddhava then joyfully, Uddhava then joyfully addressed Nanda Maharaj, having clearly seen the supreme loving attraction he and Yashoda felt for Krishna. The Supreme Lord, O respectful Nanda, certainly you and Mother Yashoda are the most praiseworthy persons in the entire world, since you have developed such a loving attitude towards the shelter of Mahavishnu, Krishna, who is greater than the Lord of Vaikuntha. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:46-29-30. Krishna and Balaram had told Nanda to console him. They are the real father and mother who care for, as they would their own sons, children abandoned by relatives, unable to maintain and protect them. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:45-22. Balaram actually had a different father and mother. They then sent to Nanda, "Now you should all return to Braja, dear father. We shall come to see you, our dear relatives, who suffer in separation from us, as soon as we have given some happiness to our well-wishing friends." Srimad Bhagavatam 10:45-23. "We will come to see you. My coming to see you is my goal of life. After seeing you, we will remain there." Or drashtum means be able to see, as in tatapi, bhuman mahima gunasya te vibhod dhum arhati. The word vibhod dhum means to be able to understand. The reason is that you are relatives. Thus Krishna is mainly the child of Nanda and Yashoda. Right, so he says here, after we have given some happiness to our well-wishing friends by going to Mathura. But he's mentioning here that by the word that you are relatives. We return to the subject. The cowherds and gopas also had prema for him alone. For it is said, "Therefore, O best of the Bharatas, the bhakti of Nanda, Yashoda, and all the cowherd men and women remained in its highest form directed towards Krishna, who had become their son, who was longed for but not attained by others." Srimad Bhagavatam 10:8-51. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. Although when the Supreme Personality of Godhead stole the butter, curd, and milk of the neighboring gopas and gopis, this teasing superficially seemed troublesome. In fact, it was an exchange of affection in the ecstasy of devotional service. The more the gopas and gopis exchanged feelings with the Lord, the more their devotional service increased. Sometimes we may superficially see that a devotee is in difficulty because of being engaged in devotional service. But the fact is different. When a devotee suffers for Krishna, that suffering is transcendental enjoyment. Unless one becomes a devotee, this cannot be understood. When Krishna exhibited his childhood pastimes, not only did Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda increase their devotional affection, But those in their association also increased in devotional service. In other words, persons who followed the activities of Vrindavan will also develop devotional service in the highest perfection. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.51 purport. So those who appreciate the service of the Brajvasis, they also develop the mood of the Brajvasis. The topic is summarized. Thus, the Supreme Lord Krishna, along with Balaram, lived in Vrindavan just to substantiate the benediction of Brahma and gave pleasure to Nanda, Jashoda, and the cowherd men and women through the pastimes dependent upon their bhakti. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.52. So pastimes are dependent on their bhakti. Means because of their bhakti, that's why the pastime manifests in that way. The Lord has pastimes, but the pastimes are going to be based on the mood of devotion of the devotee. Right? Because in Vrindavan they have that particular mood, therefore the pastimes manifest like that. In Dwarka it'll be different. Different slight. You know, slight means devotion is there, but the expression is different, therefore the manifestation of the pastime is different. So it's going to be based on the devotees. Does that make sense? So that's what I was saying before, is that point, it's not as important as a fact about Krishna's appearance. It's about the unfolding of the pastime based on the devotion. So if you're bringing out that, yes, Mother Jashoda and Nandabhava, because of their affection for Krishna, therefore Krishna appears from them. You know, but at the same time, it's for that overall pastime, because he's going to do the whole tour, you know, do the Goloka tour, you know, start Braj and then go out to the quadrangle and, you know, like that. So it's going to be the whole thing. And so then it all goes on. Because we see here in the Boma Leela that the whole Goloka is represented. So you have Vrindavan, you have the Dwarka, Mathura, you have the Chaturvyuha, you have Varaha, and Upendra, and the Shrinka, and they all have their places in pastime. So that's the whole thing. That whole has all come here. So it's so special that Goloka has come here. But in this mood, then it's, you know, it's Tirtha, it's Dham, there's a third one, isn't there? It's Tirtha, Dham, isn't there something in between?
Yeah, there's, I forgot what's the name.
Yeah, because there's a place where something where the Lord just performed a pastime there, some specific thing. Then there's a place where that Lord lives. Then there's the Dham, meaning it's representing Krishna's place. Yeah. Oh. He showed affection to all of them by special pastimes under control of their bhakti. Right? So, because of the bhakti, that's what Yuda was made. Oh, no one else except you could have Krishna as their son. Because you have that bhakti that he wouldn't manifest anywhere else. He showed affection to all of them by special pastimes under control of their bhakti, meant for special devotees in order to show that Brahma's great blessings would not be made untrue. Right? So he's putting together, Brahma's made this statement, but they have the bhakti. So because they have the bhakti, then Brahma's made the statement, and then you put them both together. So Krishna's so...
Yeah, although externally, the cause and effect, you know, reverse.
Yeah.
It seems like Brahma made the statement and then the whole thing unfolds.
Yes.
Actually, it's the other way around.
Yes. Now that's the fun part. Because being the supreme, that's the point of human pastimes, is you want to make it. That's why there's always this thing, like we were discussing before, is that you have that aspect of things switching. Because actually it all comes from Krishna, but the point is how much taste is in that. You know, it's special, just that it's connected to Krishna. Those on the platform of liberation and all that are tasting that specialness, but it doesn't compare to the ocean, unlimited ocean of nectar of when Krishna has pastimes based on the devotion of the devotees. Mm-hmm. That's just unlimitedly more. Just because that's why for us, it's just the situation you function on. You know, it's just like, let's say for us, it might be, we would think that, you know, it would be a great achievement if we got to stay, let's say, in a very, very good quality hotel, you know, in the best room, you know. But for some people, so because that's for us as a goal, and when we're there, we don't know what to do there. We just sit there, wow, we're here, you know, what do, you know. But for some people, that's just the normal place that they function on. Of course they stay in that kind of hotel, in that kind of room. Then they have their activities. John?
No.
No? Yeah. So the that's the aspect, is that the that is the highest. But when we're looking for logic, we're looking on the platform of existence and knowledge. So that's where the difficulty comes. We want it to all be explained according to this, but then we want to be the Rasika and taste that. But it's kind of like, no, if you want to taste that, you give up the need for this. You can know it, but you don't have a need for it. It's not your need. So that's the thing. It can't be the need. You know, you studied me. So for us, we're reading, I think it's just that we're talking, we're hearing about Krishna. We're hearing the finest... the finest and all-encompassing explanation of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. But you see is that that's all that's discussed by any acharya anywhere. It's just that all the things that everybody said is all in one place here in this scripture. But it's not that, oh, this has and that's higher and those don't. No, they're speaking is this. But because of the different situations, they're just, you know, they're talking about different aspects, because Krishna is perfect, so therefore anything about him is going to be wonderful. You see, Prabhupada's giving, you know, he's talking on the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, but he's not mentioning how, you know, he's dealing and he's talking about the Maya bodies, but he's also talking about the culture that's going on with Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra and Yudhishthira, and Krishna, and Arjuna, and bewilderment. You know, those things are also there, but these other. But then when he's talking, let's say, in Bhagavatam, there'll be all those things that are there, that kind, but also the aspect, Bhagavad Gita elements will be there. So they're all on that absolute platform. Just that Jiva Goswami has collected them all in one place. So it becomes obvious, logically obvious. Well, everything's there in the Bhagavatam, everything's there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but we may not always catch it. Or, living in Braja to show love for them through his pastimes, he made Brahma's order come true. And in respecting the order, he produced unflinching faith in all. So that's the thing, is by respecting the order, by making it look as Brahma made it, and then Krishna, by doing that way, it gives faith in everybody, unflinching faith. So it does have an advantage when it gets the faith, because we're working from this side. Does that make sense? So we need these things. So that's the point, is spontaneous devotional service doesn't require that. You just love Krishna because he's fabulous. That's all. You know, whether Brahma said something or not, that just adds to it.
Yeah, I was just thinking that in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, he starts from a best teacher of Navanyaya.
Mm.
But then he gives it up and goes, you know, into being irrational. And it's actually mentioned like a Baul. Baul means... you know, funny on the head. So he shows that logic works up to a certain
point. Yeah.
But then if you want to taste rasa, you have to drop it completely. He actually, in the past times, he never goes back into it. He never refers to that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like you mentioned, that the Madhya Lila starts with conversation Sarvabhauma Vaticharya, and he just listens from him. So externally, the idea is that he's learning from Sarvabhauma Vaticharya, and then he gives him the order, okay, go to the south, meet this devotee Ramananda Rai. So he goes there, again listens to Ramananda Rai, and then in the teaching to Rupa and Sanatana, he actually refers to that. And he says, well, whatever I'm telling you, I heard from Ramananda Rai. So, like you explained, the Lord puts his Shakti into his devotees, then getting it back, experience more ecstasy than in the first place.
Yeah, because it's already him. So, but then when you mix it with the devotion of the devotees, then it takes on a special
flavor.
Yeah.
It's really.
You know, it's just like the crayons, the piece of paper, you know, they all belong to the parents. But then when the kid takes them and draws something nice, then it brings great pleasure to the parents. Hence, refrigerator magnets. Yeah. Anucheta, but it doesn't mean you can't explain it logically, but you won't understand it by logic. Say, oh, you can't, so we don't need logic. We can explain things through logic. But the point is if you don't have the Sukriti, you will not understand it.
Yeah. I guess it's a main difference between Achintya and Anirvachaniya. Because Mayavadi says it's unexplainable.
Yeah.
But we say, no, you can't.
It's explainable, but not understandable.
We can't explain. Even Krishna in the Gita, he explains about himself. It's straightforward. And it's very logical. But it's achintya. Achintya means inconceivable.
Yeah.
You can't, by that process, you can't understand it.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, because I was really breaking my head on this, because it seems very, very similar, Anirvachaniya and Achintya. And what's the difference? I was like really confused.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that simple, actually.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm not the sages describing them, so they can be described.
Yeah.
It's just that there's no end, so... Yeah, because sometimes it said, oh, the way he explained it, I didn't understand it, so, you know, it took me another 6 months to join Krishna consciousness because he was such a bozo preacher. No, you just didn't have the Agyata Sukriti to develop the faith. You know, it's nothing to do with him. Because you say, oh, it didn't speak to me, it's because nothing would speak to you.
Yeah. And proof of that other people join from exactly the same program.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Other people join. Yeah, you did. Yeah, so like that. It's just that we know. It doesn't mean that they can't try to improve, to try to... But what's the improvement? It's not about their explanation. It's improve the quality of their realization of Krishna through devotion. Then it becomes broader. Yes. Anucheta 151 to 152. Yes, just like for the Uttama, explaining like this is not being a logician or being a scholar. It's just that's how they understand it. But for a logician or scholar, he's just using the methods because you can put anything into that. It's like a machine. You know, it's like, let's say you take the postgraduate brain. You can put any subject into it. And it'll come out in that form, you know. So whether they're a PhD in philosophy or in science or in art or whatever it is, it'll come out with that same flavor. It's just it's a machine, you know. I think they call it the academic method.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a method. So it's not as much about the knowledge as how you deal with the knowledge. You know, so for the devotees, then they know Krishna and they can explain it. Like that. You know, and some then go into, like we see Jiva Goswami goes into, you know, very much focusing on that aspect. Because it's being explained by him, therefore Rupa and Sanatan will go up to a certain particular point And then they don't have to take it further and spend more time in their book. Right? Because otherwise the book gets too long and you may miss the point. Because any finer, Jiva Goswami is explaining.
Yeah.
You know, as a service to Rupa and Sanatana. Considering Drona and Dhara's wish to be a secondary cause, Sukadeva speaks about the Damodar pastime in chapter 9 in order to announce that Nanda and Yashoda were more fortunate than Brahma and others. This shows that Vatsalyam is the cause of great control over Krishna, since Yashoda could tie him up. That incident shows that the great mercy bestowed to her could not be attained by Brahma, Shiva, or Lakshmi. Neither Brahma, nor Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Lord, the deliverer from this material world, as much mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. 10, 9, 20. Does it get colder with time?
Yeah, the body just
cool, because we're not moving, so then we cool down. I was wondering, why is it getting colder? Because it's later in the day, it should be warming up, but... Saadi Devo Jagatam Paro Guru. Brahma is the original Devata, the instructor of bhakti for the world. Srimad Bhagavatam 295. And Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava. Greater than Brahma. Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. Oh, that's interesting. So Brahma is the original Devata, the instructor of bhakti for the world. So Brahma is the guru for the world, but Shiva is still the supreme, the topmost Vaishnava. And Lakshmi is the highest, since she is the person who first proclaims instructions on the Lord's bhakti. The order in the list shows increasing greatness. But Lakshmi is greater not only because of her bhakti. By her supreme friendship and intimacy, she is greater, sitting on his chest. Anu Samsraya. Being of that nature, she received mercy from him who gives liberation. The Lord gives liberation, but not even bhava bhakti, to those who worship him. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.6.18. Right, because bhava bhakti is below prema. It's the seed. So if you don't even get that, then, you know, let alone prema. So,
yeah.
Her attainment of mercy was greater than liberation. But from Bhagavan, Yashoda, Gopi, attained something indescribable. Yeah, because you put in here the gopi, otherwise you might think it means fame. Because there's also a shakti, because you're talking about Lakshmi, there's also the shakti of fame, yeah. You know, of the eight around, surrounding. Which cannot be mentioned by the word prasada. Brahma, Shiva, and Lakshmi did not receive, na le pire, such mercy. The word le pire should be repeated 3 times for each of them. Does that mean then that little pot of thickened yogurt is mercy? Le pire. No?
You mean lava?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now you can always remember the Lord. This is the Lord's mercy. So the word le pire should be repeated 3 times for each of them. The negative emphasizes that they did not at all receive such mercy. This is explained by Shukadeva in the preceding and following chapters. If Drona and Dhara were just ordinary devatas, it is not possible that they attained Krishna like Yashoda, for a slight shadow of his lotus feet are rare even for Lakshmi, Shiva, and Brahma. The two never performed intense bhakti like Nanda and Yashoda. Otherwise, Shukadeva would have described it. Nor was the result that they attained merely what they requested from Brahma. Rather, they requested pure bhakti to overcome all difficulties. You seeing all these words crowded?
Yes, Maharaj, actually.
Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.49. Nor could Brahma bestow to them his blessings of having Krishna as a son, which is rare even for great devotees to attain. So Brahma can't give the blessing that someone will get a son, but because they perform that bhakti, they will get, but because Brahma said, as the, you know, the original instructor in the universe, then therefore then, you know, that is also taken into the, it makes more fun. Because when you do one thing, it's there, but when you can combine two or three, you know, or even we see with Krishna, there's examples of where it's eight or ten, you know, all combined together, then it takes on another flavor, another taste.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's like internal and external reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's saying they wouldn't be able to do that. If they were just demigods, they can't get Krishna as the son. Like that. And if others, if Brahma, Shiva, and Lakshmi perform that intense devotion like Mother and Yashoda and Nanda Baba, you know, or like that, then it would have been mentioned about their glories. Why would he say that they're not getting? Because he's saying they're not getting, because he was saying it's in the negative, means they didn't have that same level of devotion. Right? So that's the thing, is the intensity. In other words, it's all on the level of pure bhakti. But it's just a matter of the intensity keeps getting more and more. So, yeah. Nor could Brahma give a blessing to attain such a result, since he was devoid of such mercy. Since he didn't have it, how can he give? It will be said that he was completely devoid of such mercy. Quote, "My greatest possible good fortune would be to take any birth whatsoever in this forest of Gokula and have my head bathed by the dust falling from the lotus feet of any of its residents. Their entire life and soul is the Lord, Mukunda, the dust of whose lotus feet is sought even today by the Upanishads." Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14-34. There was no cause for their great fortune. Without cause, they are eternally in that situation. Right? So if there's no cause, Brahma can't give it. You know, there's nothing as a demigod they could do. It's only by their pure bhakti. Then there's no cause, so therefore it's eternal. Eternally, they're the parents of Krishna because of that relationship. Understanding this, I, Sukadeva, have placed the story as an apparent cause because of the desire of the Lord to preach excellent bhakti to himself. So you're talking about it. They've done excellent bhakti, therefore, you know, then they attain that position. So then it's always something that's nice to attain, you know, like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So Krishna wants to, you know, how you say, preach the glories. So when you have these elements that seem like there's the causation and those kind of things, then that works very nicely for the preaching and for us to appreciate. Right? And so it's a good thing. So like we were discussing before, that there's a cause, that things are logical, and that it's a good thing. But at the same time, as you should know, is which logical statement to use where. So... There was no cause for their great fortune. Okay, that's it. Drona and Dara were Amshas who merged with Nanda and Yashoda when they appeared on earth. Right? Because means Nanda and Yashoda are there, and as Krishna expands his pastimes, then his associates that are here expand to be in those pastimes. But then when they come down here as, you know, avatars, even though they're avatari, then those come and then merge into them. It goes the other way around. So therefore, Vasudeva. So that's why it said when Krishna is there, when Vasudeva brings Vasudeva Krishna merges into Braja Krishna, not the other way around.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he would have put him down and whoosh, he would have gone the other way. But no, go this way. You know, because that's the whole book. So therefore, Dara and who is it? Drona and Dara, then they merged into Nanda and Jashoda because they're actually from them. So that's why you can say is their worship is higher than Vasudeva Devaki. Because they're taking that, they had that mood. Well, then Vasudeva and Devaki are also expanded from them, but they'll have that formal mood. You know, it'll be, in other words, Krishna then has parents in the realm of sweetness. He also has parents in the realm of sweetness and majesty mixed. But in the realm of majesty, there are no parents. Right? So then, because of that mood of that there, therefore then there can't be the aspect of the majesty and sweetness in Ananda and Jashoda or in Drona and Dara. So they're coming from that aspect. And then, but from Vasudeva, then, and Devaki, then they are the parents. They're eternally the parents when it has that mix. And so then their expansions are, of course, Prishni and Sutapa. See, it's even more formal there. You know, they're Prajapatis, and you know, it has that more, well, Drona and that, they're, I think, they're more minor devatas. So he said all the demigods come and take birth, and they're all going back into the originals who were there. So that, does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. So when you mentioned that the aspect of majesty has no parents, you mean Narayana and Vaikuntha?
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, because he doesn't have... You know, it's like Mahavishnu, he expands from Sankarsana.
Yeah.
You don't.
He expands from himself directly, because Rupa Goswami mentions it's either directly or through the agent. Mm. So Narayana he just appears directly.
Yes. Yes.
His own form.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah, you don't have to have that. That's why the thing is, you know, Brahma's there. You don't have to have it. You don't have to, it's not human pastime, so you don't need parents as such.
Yeah.
Can be it can have that mystical element, and it works quite well. Yeah. Okay, Drona and Dara were amshas who merged with Nanda and Jashoda when they appeared on earth. Moreover, in Bhagavatam, prema for the Lord is proclaimed as the highest of all purusharthas. Gokula alone is the highest shelter of that prema. In Gokula reside Nanda and Jashoda. If that highest shelter is proved to be eternal, the efforts of this scripture will be successful. Brahma prayed to take birth there. By nature, this is the position of Nanda and Jashoda. Yeah, in Gokula reside Nanda and Jashoda. If that highest shelter is proven to be eternal, the efforts of this scripture will be successful. So the Krishna Sandharma is to establish, you know, that the devotees of the Lord are, you know, eternal. And the realm is eternal, the pastimes are eternal. Krishna, that's the whole purpose of this. He is available to those who worship him and not to others. The Lord, son of Jashoda, is not easily available to materialists or to jnanis with realization of Atma, but is easily available to persons with devotion to the son of Jashoda. So they can be big jnanis and this, but if they don't have devotion, then they won't realize. Sukapaha means easily attained. The Lord, the son of Jashoda, is not easily attained by austerity for persons who think they are the body, dehinam, but he is attainable to some degree by them after a long time, when they purify their hearts and by offering their austerity to him by pure intelligence produced by the chance glance of the devotee. So, you're doing the austerity, you know, or the jnana, whatever these difficulties. Then by doing that, it's part of the processes on the purifying path. It means the path to Krishna. Then they're there as purifiers, but they themselves aren't actually the purpose of the path. The purpose of the path is to develop love for Krishna. And so because the heart is impure, that's why we're not taking that seriously. So if you follow things that purify, it makes the situation better. Right? It means if you're in a better situation, there's the chance of making better decisions. But at the same time, there are people in better situations who don't. Right? You know. So then through that, then their hearts become purified. Then if they get the chance glance of the devotees, then that switches, that gives them that agyata sukriti, that the bhakti aspect, that now in that purified state they could be attracted to Krishna. So the jnana and austerities, they themselves directly won't give any results. So you can't say, because I'm so studied, therefore I will understand it. No, you can't say that. It's by bhakti that you'll understand. Maybe by the study that you're studying, and that's then the aspect. But because it's pleasing to Krishna in devotion. So if you're just studying because I want to be the greatest scholar, then the heart will become purified because you're dealing with Krishna and his pastimes. But the point is that it's only when you're taking shelter of that mercy of the devotees, then you're going to see is that, no, it's the devotion to following the order of the Acharya that we're studying as a devotion to Krishna to please Krishna. That's why it says, then after some time when they offer, with pure intelligence, they offer that to Krishna, then you get that benefit. Does that make sense? So that's why you may have this simple brahmachari, and he knows so much more. I remember seeing this in the Gurukul. I'd be discussing like this, kind of subtle technical points. And we had one devotee that was there that is known to be quite simple as a person. You know, just a simple person and simple, and maybe they're not complicated. And not necessarily greatly, academic, very scholarly. But super good service attitude and surrendered mood, and consistent, always the same day in, day out, year after year. And by me settling these points, he would understand it, but many others in the audience who are much more academically, developed, couldn't. So it was very, very far out. And it was a consistent thing, because there was a time when he came for regularly for some, I think, months, and so his technical points, I think it was like second canto or something, and then he would catch that. So just because of that mood and that service attitude, and he'd catch from that. Maybe he couldn't explain it, or give any kind of that, but he'd understand. So that's the thing, is that we can't, in other words, if it has a value in Krishna consciousness, then the scholarship is nice. We're supposed to be scholars in this meaning. Scholars means we studied so we understand, but we're scholars of the Shastra because of the devotion, not because we apply the academic method. Yeah, does that make sense?
I think there's one story with Shankaracharya. He had a disciple. I forgot what was his name.
Was it Padmapani or?
Padmapad.
He's the one that's always famous, but he may not be the one. I didn't know him. Go ahead.
But basically, his name in Sanskrit meant fool.
Is someone else. Then.
Like a little dumb person.
Right, right.
And he was always washing the clothes.
Okay.
Of the guru.
Okay.
And then they were traveling with a group of disciples, scholars, gyanis, vairagis. Mm. And then Shankara stopped in one place, and then this devotee was washing his clothes. And Shankara, he prepared for class, and he was waiting for him. And all the disciples were like, very uncomfortable. Why are you waiting for this guy? He's stupid, He won't understand anyway. Yeah. Why are you worried about the guy? He's washing, let him do, simple service. And we discuss, Vedanta.
Yeah.
And then he came, and then Shankara told him, okay, you speak. And just by that service attitude, he spoke perfect Sanskrit and explaining all the subtle points of Vedanta and everything. And the guys were like humble. They became like like this.
Yeah, yeah.
So this proves, what's that verse? Mukam karoti vachamu.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
So he showed them that the simple service to the guru. And he was always contemplating on the qualities of the spiritual master. Because simple work. It's like therapy, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, your mind is free.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's very good.
I just forgot the name. It's really...
But that was probably the name before, because I'm not sure. You know those? Because... Is that the same one as them? They were on the other side of the river, and Shankaracharya told them to come, and he walked off across the water. Yeah?
I'm not sure.
Like that. You know, just another aspect. Yeah. So then he got that name that I mentioned.
So Jesus is not the first who walked on
the water. Well, here is when he walked on the water, lotuses came up.
Oh, wow.
You know, so where he stepped, a lotus came up. They walked on that.
Even better than Jesus.
Well, they wouldn't know what to do with the lotus. What are the lotuses? Oh, yeah, you walked. They would say, oh, but you walked on lotuses. You know, so he had, no, I walked on the water.
Oh, yes, so more mystical.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can stand on the lotus.
Yeah, yeah, because of course, isn't it? Anytime you can go out, stand on the lotus and walk right across. I mean, that's if it, you know, it's like that, what do you call it, the guy did that austerity. They said they would give, I guess, a huge amount of gold or something if there was a pukur that was especially cold. If you stood in it up to your neck overnight, you know, from sunset to sunrise, then you'd get this, you know, very large amount of gold. So one Brahmin was so poor in that he actually did it. But then when the king was going to give it, the queen noticed that where he was standing, and there was a lamp in the balcony, and so he said, no, meditating on that lamp, he kept warm, so he cheated. He doesn't get the gold. You know, it's kind of like that. It's kind of like, because she was talking about no one can stay in that pukur. Mm. He was saying, I guess they took a bath. No one could take a bath. It's just like that. And so, you know, her pride and like that. So that the Brahmin went to, I think this would be one of those...
stories.
That was the beer ball one.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I kind of thought it was a Tanali Ram, but whatever it is, there's one of these three. And so then he went, and then he invited him for lunch. No, it couldn't have been beer ball.
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah. Not beer ball.
Because otherwise, beer ball was never the jester. He was always serious, but Gopal Bhan and Tanali Ram could. So they invited the king and you know, his associates for lunch, because he's a courtier, they would go, ministers. So, you know, lunch is at this time. Then the time comes like that, and the king, okay, you know, what's happening? He said, oh, no, just a few more minutes like that. And, you know, the time goes by more. Hey, what's going on? Like, so it's like, you know, really long time's gone by. And he says, no, but we're almost done, just the last little bit. And the king gets impatient and says, what is this nonsense? What is your arrangement? He walks into the kitchen to see. And then he sees that on, you know, some poles, you know, up there, like the ceiling height, there's the pot that he's cooking in. And down at the bottom is the fire. You know, they're tending the fire nicely. It's the proper fire for what you were cooking, you know, there. And the king goes, you know, what nonsense is this? You have the pot up there, the fire's down here. How do you expect it to cook up there? He says, well, if the Brahmin, by meditating on that lamp, you know, that's so far away, can keep himself warm in the pukur, surely this fire can keep the pot. Okay, I give the Brahmin his gold. You can understand, so. Jai. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah, so like that, Jesus didn't want to give any opportunity for them to say, but he just walked on lotuses, you know, like anybody could do that. You know, so he just walked straight on the water, so it's like...